0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we strap ourselves in for a big week of Old Firm build-up. Douglas Park steps down as Rangers chairman to be replaced by John Bennett. Ange Postecoglou says Celtic are targeting a record points tally this season, and Aberdeen's Duke is the player of the month. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me this evening, you've got Simon Donnelly and Gordon Dalziel. Gordon Dalziel, this part of the world on shows like this lives for weeks like these.
Yeah, after an exciting weekend of football, Gordon, it's all eyes looking forward now to the weekend. A great weekend coming up, and it starts 12:30 at Celtic Park, the big one, Celtic v Rangers. But after that, there's a lot of important points to be won. You know, teams try to get in that top six, teams try to get out the relegation battle. Lots to play for, looking forward to it. I think we'll have a busy week, and obviously big breaking news tonight that Douglas Park, chairman of Rangers, steps down after 3 years in charge.
Yeah, and even bigger news, I'm substitute for the most famous duo in, on the radio tonight.
Listen, mate, how are you feeling? Big pressure?
Under pressure.
How you can handle it?
I'm delighted I'm actually standing next to a guy who got picked for the Legends game, right? Travelled down there. You've got the tracksuit, he's got it on the night.
He's not off since he came back.
Exactly. So I'm delighted to be actually with a Celtic legend.
0141 951 1025. That is the number you need to get in touch tonight. If you're talking specifically today's news, then obviously breaking before we came on air, Rangers fans, Douglas Park steps down as chairman, replaced by John Bennett. What's your reaction to that? What's your gut reaction to the news? How do you then look back on the body of work that Douglas Park has done in his time as chairman, and I guess as an investor prior to that, and where does the club go from here then, looking forward? So Rangers fans, give us your thoughts right now. 0141 951 1025. In terms of the football, well, doesn't come much bigger than this. This week, what a build up we've got. We can start getting stuck into the old bravado, the bragging rights. Who's going to do this? Who's going to do that? Which player should play? What are the team selection dilemmas? We can start all that. Why not? We can ramp it all up. Give us a call, 0141 951 1025. And if you look outside Glasgow, Hearts fans, what's happening there? There seems to be a crisis brewing, which might seem strange for a team that's third in the table, but you know the way things are these days, so why not give us a call there? Aberdeen fans, or anyone else who's interested in this guy, by the way, Duke is the player of the month. Is he the best player outside the top two? That might be one for you to come on and share your thoughts with, and I'm sure we'll try and get round to that a bit later on. 0141 951 1025. I remember seeing this for the previous meeting of the side, Simon, early in the season, when the big two met for the first time. It came a couple of days after the Champions League. There was almost no chance to really build up all week, because they had big games midweek, and then the one at the new year, well, let's be honest, everyone's still digesting their turkey and then onto their steak pie and whatever, and you don't get the same build up there. But for the previous one and for this one, it's just like it's week long, it's wall to wall, and everyone gets themselves in a frenzy for the days that lead up to it.
Yeah, and the referees get released today as well, so or the ref and the assistants, and that hyped it up even more. Yeah, listen, it's a big game coming up. They all are big, these games. Gordon will tell you, he's played in plenty of them over the years. But it's a big one, because Celtic can obviously go and, I think, put the league to bed at the weekend. And the other side of the coin is, if Rangers were to get a result, you know, it would change everything. You know, this, since come back for the World Cup, it's been toe-to-toe. The gap's still there at 9 points. The incentive is there for both clubs.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think it's a massive weekend, especially for Rangers, because if there's any chance, any hope of staying in this title race, they've got to go to Celtic Park and pick up 3 points. Celtic are firm favourites to win the league. I think we'll agree that, Gordon. Not just the fact they're 9 points, the goal difference is very, very huge indeed. So that's another point to them. So if Rangers have to give their fans any hope, they have to get 3 points this weekend.
Breaking news today though, Douglas Park stepping down as Rangers chairman. So Rangers fans, give us your thoughts right now, please. 0141 951 1025. I know Gordon Dalziel, Simon Donnelly, they're obsessed with the football match itself at the weekend. But let's take a look at that news story, if you like, today, with our reporter Andrew McLean, who joins us on the show. Andrew, a brief outline of the facts, I guess, for anyone who has missed it so far today.
Yeah, as you mentioned there, Gordon, it was just over an hour ago, a statement came out from the club. It revealed that Chairman Douglas Park was stepping down from his role with immediate effect. That's after 3 years in that role. He stepped in March of 2020, just around the time of the start of the coronavirus pandemic, replacing Dave King. He was a director before that as well. He was actually part of the Three Bears that helped wrestle control of the club back from Mike Ashley, which supporters will certainly remember Park fondly for. There are some quotes as well in the statement. He said, "It's been a great honour to serve the club as director and chairman." He goes on to say, "During my 8 years in office, we endured extraordinary pressures. I'm glad we've stabilised and strengthened the club, and it's now time for me to hand over the baton to a new chairman for the next stage in the club's development." And it now means that that chairman will be John Bennett. The Rangers board have unanimously agreed for him to step up from his role as vice chairman.
Timing wise, how would you assess the timing, and I suppose the Rangers fans as well, how we're about to find out how they'll take the news, if you like, but what's the sort of gut feeling, or the initial outpouring of reaction to that side of things?
Yeah, I think there has been quite a bit of surprise amongst Rangers supporters. I think there had maybe been some murmurings over the past year that this was potentially coming at some point, but you know, you see people in high positions at clubs sometimes announce that they'll step down at the end of the season, give a bit of notice, but he's deciding to bow out now. I'm sure we'll find out more going forward. But you wonder, with the pressure there's been on those high up at Rangers, not specifically directed towards Douglas Park, but at Ross Wilson and at Stuart Robertson, we've seen the protests at several games. You wonder whether that could potentially be a factor. But as I say, timing may reveal more on that.
Again, the Rangers fans are about to tell us. I can see the calls coming in, which I'm all for. So 01419511025. How will the Douglas Park era be looked upon, Andrew? Because I had a quick look through social media, like everyone does, and for lots of tweeters, which is not always the best representation, but there's almost like an air of celebration. Lots of Rangers fans seem to want change, and they're frustrated because of where they are in the league at the moment, and how far they've fallen behind Celtic, and they want some sort of change, and therefore seem to be sort of happy, if you like, by that news. But then every now and then there's somebody pointing out that, well, the chairman is not necessarily the day-to-day runner of the club. It's also someone who heavily invested financially in the football club, and therefore, if you were to sort of assess where the club sits today versus when Douglas Park started his investment, that might give you a broader representation of the job done.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, Rangers were in the Championship when Douglas Park took over, and if you have to sort of point out two main successes on the park, you look at where Rangers were then. One of the biggest successes has to be that title at the end of the 2020-21 season. First of all, how much it meant to the club, but also stopping Celtic from winning 10 in a row, going unbeaten in that league season as well. The big thing, getting Rangers back to the top of Scottish football at that point for the first time in over a decade. So that did feel like a huge moment for the football club. You then look to last season and, you know, being the chairman as Rangers reached a fifth European final in their history. We know it was a bitter end for supporters with the way that the game went against Eintracht Frankfurt, but you know, the memories, and more importantly for the club as well, the financial implications were absolutely massive, especially after missing out on Champions League football as well. The club statement also references that he led significant investments in the infrastructure at both Ibrox and Auchinhowie, the training ground as well. But you know, like anyone in a high position, there will be criticisms. I think one of them will certainly be the fact that Rangers didn't kick on from that title success at the end of the COVID season. There had been a lot of talk about Rangers supporters that they'd maybe stood still. They maybe didn't spend enough money in that summer. And that is something that, you know, is quite often labelled at the chairman. That's something that Rangers fans will still look back on and be annoyed about, especially when you look at what's happened since then as well. It's fair to say he wasn't universally popular amongst, you know, Rangers fans, because fans group Club 1872, they hold a 5% stake in the club. They voted against his re-election as chairman last year. And you look at the sort of wider context of things as well, I think it's probably fair to say that he's maybe not the most popular when it comes to the SPFL either, because we're all aware of the long-running battle that there's been between the club and the governing body over sponsorship. Douglas Park made his fortune from Park's Motor Group. Rangers felt there was a conflict with advertising league sponsors Cinch, and that's still an ongoing battle at the moment.
And finally, going forward then, I don't think there's any surprise that John Bennett will be the next chairman. Those Rangers fans who are calling for change, you see the banners, my guess would be their preference would be, I'm not saying this is right, but their preference would be Stuart Robertson or Ross Wilson be changed rather than Douglas Park. I've also heard people wanting, you know, more of a visible presence, if you like. You don't hear much from Douglas Park, which is fine if you've got maybe a chief executive who's a more visible presence, which again, sometimes Stuart Robertson gets criticism for that, rightly or wrongly. You wonder if John Bennett will have a different approach.
Yeah, well, it's interesting you make that point about, you know, communication essentially, because John Bennett did an interview not too long ago where he said that, you know, he heard the criticism from supporters that the communication from those at the club wasn't good enough for supporters. He said he wanted the club to be more open, and I'm sure they will be happy if that turns out to be the case. But I think with John Bennett going forward, it is just a lot of questions that Rangers fans will be wanting answers to. Will there be those changes that they're looking for in terms of managing director and sporting director with the protests we've seen with Stuart Robertson and Ross Wilson? If not, then, you know, will John Bennett come out and explain why he feels that they are the right people to take the club forward? Will there be changes to funding, the structure of the club, things like that? Another thing he said in an interview recently, less than a year ago, he stressed he had no interest, or the club, the board had no interest in selling a club. So you would expect that would mean that he's in it for the long haul as well.
Thank you very much, your reporter Andrew McLean, bringing you up to speed. But of course, we want to hear from you, Rangers fans. What's your reaction to that news today? Let's bring in Paul, who is first through on the line. Paul, what do you make of it?
Hi, Gordon. Thanks for letting me on the show tonight. Good as always. Sometimes this can be, you know, not maybe timed as well, to be honest. We've got an important game coming up with the magnitude on Saturday. Some people might say, well, the title's gone, but, you know, who can dismiss titles when they've had two helicopter Sundays in previous years, you know? So anything can happen. And I just think maybe the timing is a wee bit not right. But I phoned up, I think, maybe a week or two ago to your show to say that I was a wee bit, you know, Rangers fans can be decisive on this, I suppose. But I think, and I'd said before, I wouldn't really be targeting Stuart Robertson and Ross Wilson in that fact, because they can only work with the tools they've been given. And the man at the top, you know, is responsible for that. And I think it was targeted the wrong way, if I'm being honest with you. For as much as I respect Douglas Park, you know, he's obviously done well with his business and everything else, and, you know, I won't take away what the board did after the, you know, the shenanigans that had went on previously. They picked all that up, but I think we kind of need freshness at the top, and I'd say that at the time, I think maybe it was Douglas Park's time to go. And to be honest, when the Union Bears were taken out of Ibrox because of protests, I thought, you know, there's a line drawn in the sand there, to be honest. You know, fair enough, it's got to be a peaceful protest and everything else, but you can't be stopping people from voicing their opinions at the home ground, to be honest. These are the people who pay the money day in and day out to support the club. So I think my own viewpoint on it, and been a Rangers follower for a number of years, is, you know, I'm looking forward to the future, to be honest, and I'm hoping this is now a change at the top. I'll take that forward for investment and everything else.
In terms of timing, Gordon, I mean, Douglas Park may well be listening. These things are completely different. You know, what Michael Beale's planning to do at the weekend is, you know, very little to do with him. But you can kind of see why fans would say, well, okay, well, if this change was going to come, maybe I thought it would come in the summer, and or maybe a sort an international break last week, for instance. I don't know. Does it make any difference that it's today?
Not to the team. It gives a bit of publicity, obviously, to Rangers, and not the football team, obviously, up above. Look, he's not going to make any difference to what happens in preparation for this week, for Saturday. There's absolutely no doubt in that. Was I surprised? I probably thought he would have waited to the end of the season. He came in at a difficult time, as Andrew quite rightly said. You know, he's been through good times with Rangers, but, you know, lately the fans have sort of lost their faith in him taking the club forward. There've been obviously demonstrations and fans on here not happy about the leadership. Maybe it's just he's got to the stage, Gordon, where he feels, right, okay, if it's best for the club, No point waiting to the end of the season. I may as well just go now and let people take it forward.
I mean, you mentioned wanting change, Paul, and you've got it. You've got a bit of change, and you know, you referenced the fans who've got the banners more aimed at Stuart Robertson and Ross Wilson. So, but why is it you think that this is the important change, if you like? Because Stuart Robertson, as your chief executive, is in charge of the day-to-day running of the club. And then Ross Wilson, as the sporting director, or whatever his title is, director of football, I think he's sporting director, runs the football operation. So is it not fair to suggest that this news today actually won't bring about that much change whilst those two remain in position?
Maybe I look at it too black and white, right? But, well, look at your job. If you weren't felt you were getting supported at the top, you could say, well, you're not doing a great job. No, a football manager, for instance, a club will go on to be successful if they get investment. You know, you only have to look at like Newcastle United, look what Eddie Howe's doing to them, but he's got support at the very top and bringing money in. So I think, to be honest, Stuart Robertson, as I said, other people might have different opinions to it, but I just think, you know, Ross Wilson can only go and recruit and select players that he's been told that's within your means. I'm not going to say we're going to get some, you know, amazing players going to come in and just revolutionise us and give us bags of money, but surely these people can only be measured on the finances I'd be given from the person at the top, and that's Douglas Parton. But again, I could be looking at it from a different perspective. I just feel, and I'm being careful as well, because you know, it's easy to be a supporter of the old firm, and when things don't go well for you that year, you know, you can come out with a scattergun approach. Look, as I said to you at the start, the guy got us to 55, and they guys picked up a hell of a mess from the previous regime, and I'll never take that away from them, you know, but I just feel we just need that bit more stability, and I'm hoping a bit more. You know, I think there's a lot of things going on with the SPFL now, and you know, the contracts with advertising and everything else, and maybe that's to do with some part of it as well, that he can maybe have a better fight on his hands with that as well. But I suppose that's another story. But I'm kind of going to, hopefully, maybe there's going to be investment down the future, and maybe somebody can, you know, invest in the training facilities and bring like Ibrox and the stadium up and everything else to the
Paul, I don't know everything that happens inside Rangers Football Club, but looking from the outside and listen to the managers that Douglas Parts worked under, I've never heard one of them come out and complain about the budget, the amount of players that they got. I think he has put a good investment in. Whether it's good enough for Rangers supporters, yes. He's labelled with this after the league win with Steven Gerrard, we didn't kick on. Sometimes that happens. You know, you can get a transfer market that goes wrong, a transfer window that goes wrong. But I don't know if I'm sitting here going to label that Douglas Park didn't put a big investment in the Rangers. I think he did. Now, Rangers fans pay their money, as Paul quite rightly says. They're quite entitled to voice their opinion. If they feel that change at the top, whether it was Douglas Park they were aiming at,
it clearly wasn't as a matter of priority. You know, I mean, I didn't see his face on too many of the banners. You know, it just depends what. If you're looking at a day-to-day running of the club.
But when you're the chairman, Gordon, you're a leader.
Sometimes, though, you've got to remember what that role is. You know, and Douglas Park would be different because he personally put a lot of money into the club. But to repeat what I've already said, generally speaking, the chairman is not the one that runs the club day-to-day. That would be your chief executive, and your football operation would be run by your sporting director, director of football, if you've got one.
Yeah, I take on board what you're saying, but I still think that, you know, everything's aimed for the chairman to make those decisions. Maybe to get a change below as the running of the day-to-day football, as the recruitment of the players. That I think the Rangers supporters are probably looking at the recruitment at times and are not happy with that. And I think Douglas Park's sitting there. Listen, he's a very successful businessman, and there comes a time where you might just sit and think, no, this isn't worth what I was looking to, you know, the journey I was going on. I think I've done my part. It's time for me to call it a day, and let's see where Rangers go from there.
Is this the classic case, though, Simon, of, you know, results on the pitch will always dictate everything? You know, always. If we had this exact conversation, let's go for the night before Rangers play the Europa League final, which is just last season, the reaction would be, this is the guy that pumped loads of money in, brought us back from an even stickier situation, won the league, and we're now on the eve of a Europa League final. But obviously right now there's a lot of frustration, so does that feed into it?
It does feed into it, because second in this country or city is nowhere and that's just the way it is. So it does play into it. The guy's obviously decided it's time for him to step down. I'm not going to stand here and say I know a great deal about it. I'm just, from the football side of it, and Daz is talking about it there with the recruitment. I spoke on the show at the time when the likes of Bassi and Aribo left the club, who I thought were two of their better players, Rangers better players, if not their best players. We touched on it that season. I think Aribo started that season like a house on fire, and Bassi finished it in the same style. These guys moved on for decent money, I believe, but I didn't feel they were replaced. And I've scribbled down here at the moment from the recruitment. I think Tillman's beginning to look a player for Rangers. He's beginning to do the business, but he's obviously not their player. He's on loan. But out with that, and I know that you get that there's been a manager change, and it will maybe take Michael Beale another transfer window to stamp his real authority on it. But I don't think the boys were replaced.
But then, of course, is that Douglas Park's sword to fall on? Is that someone else's? Is it all part of the same picture? You let us know. Thanks to Paul, 01419511025. Maybe you're agreeing or disagreeing with what you've heard so far. Now would be a good time to tell us.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Simon Donnelly are here. It's 01419511025. Check the calendar. It's Tuesday, Saturday lunchtime. There's a small matter of Celtic against Rangers. I'm pretty sure we can start the build up tonight. I don't think there's any harm in that. Some of you started it about a fortnight ago. So if you want to get stuck into the actual football and your predictions and your thoughts, your early thoughts, your early thoughts on the team and any issues that your team might face, please do get them in. There is that breaking news today from the Glasgow football scene that Douglas Park stepping down as Rangers chairman. So if you're interested in any of that, it's 01419511025. So do please get in touch. John is a Rangers fan. What do you think, John? How will you look back on Douglas Park's time and at the helm of the club?
Well, his timing doesn't matter. Let's be honest and truthful. Douglas Park was a fan. I knew Douglas Park years ago. Him and his boys used to stand beside me at away games. And he's been a fan in the clubs, I mean, for years and years before he became the director, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So you've got to look at it in a sense, right? And he's not getting any younger. So, you know what I mean? Maybe it's the time he did step down. Timing doesn't matter when the timing's done.
But I said, how will you look back on his time at the helm? I wasn't asking about the timing.
Well, we got a European final, didn't we? We weren't going anywhere with flipping Mike Ashley, were we? So at the end of the day, we've achieved quite a lot of things through it. Aye, we maybe never pushed on, but that's life. You know what I mean? Basically the league is over, because this Saturday you've got a guy who's refereeing it is just going to kill the game anyway. Guarantee you that. Clancy, you know what I mean? He's just a joke, a referee. But Douglas Park is, I would say, a fan first and foremost, and his time, what we've achieved, European final in Seville. We actually never get beat in the game. We get beat in penalty kicks, but doesn't he know what I mean? In my opinion, we should have won the game. So, best of luck to him. Hope he enjoys his retirement, because, you know what I mean, he's not getting any younger. Mm-hmm.
Do you think that's the type of thing, John, that just takes a bit of time, and then in time people will look back more fondly? You know, there's a lot of criticism out there tonight from your fellow Rangers fans. Those achievements that you list off, are those the things that you maybe remember a bit when the dust settles, rather than right here today?
Well, Douglas Park was probably a fan in 2008, right? And then he was the chairman when we went to Seville. So there's a true difference, right? And what people think, are they invested the millions that he's invested in Rangers? So let's be honest, the man has achieved what he's achieved. And maybe it's time, I'm not getting any younger, maybe it's time for somebody else to take on the helm, because he's not getting any younger.
Yeah, Gordon, is that sometimes the way things work? By the way, by saying this, it's not lost on me. I'm sure Rangers fans think Douglas Park has made mistakes and could have done a better job at times and all that. So nobody is ever immune from criticism. But in the cold light of day, eventually, how will it be remembered in time? Will it be about basically the difference between 2015 to now? Is that how you measure it mainly?
Yeah, I think the Rangers fans, once dust settles and time goes on, Gordon, will look back at Douglas Park's time and think, yeah, John's rhymed off your Scottish Cup, the Steven Gerrard coming into Rangers, win the league, stopping Celtic, the famous one. you know, the Europa League. So he's achieved a lot in his time, and I agree with John. I think he's put in a lot of his own, you know, wealth into the club to help the club. John's right, he's a Rangers supporter. He supported the club all his days. And maybe just get to the time, you get a certain age and you sit back and you might just realise the time consuming in these sort of things. People don't understand. As much as you're sitting there a businessman, if you're a chairman of Rangers, it's very time consuming as well. Douglas Park might just have came to the end of the road and thought, do you know what? It's time for me just to relax, sit back and go and be that fan again. And I'm sure that's what will happen. I'm sure once he does settle, Rangers fans will take some positives out of it.
But yeah, if you just take a, and I always caveat this because I know people kind of shout, it's the negative voices that shout the loudest on social media, so I do get that. But if you take a sort of quick look through the replies to the announcement from Rangers today, it's just dozens, hundreds, I haven't counted them, along the lines of, great, Stuart Robertson and Ross Wilson next, please. That's the sort of mood that's coming from a lot of that. Like I say, maybe that's just social media, but there's clearly something about what's happening right now that's dominating the thought process of the Rangers fans.
There's no doubt there's a divide between the boardroom and the supporters. We know that. Now, for a club going, and maybe that's why Douglas Park, being the fan he is, has decided to say, do you know what? I don't want this. This is not part of the way I looked at taking Rangers forward. And he stepped aside. That gap will need to be put together, Gordon, for a club to go forward in the same direction. You've got to have the board and the supporters all going in the same direction. And that's a job for the next one. Like say, John Bennett's moved up from vice chairman to chairman. It's a big job. I think he's got to address that right away.
Thank you, John. Nice to hear from you. 01419511025. And of course, you can tweet us as well at Clyde SSB. Now, if you want to add any more to that, you can do so on that number or on Twitter. Let's sort of go a bit more on field, if you like, and hear from Ange Postecoglou. Celtic fans, you might want to get involved here. He says Celtic are targeting a record-breaking points tally in the Premiership this season. They can surpass the points amassed by Brendan Rodgers' Invincibles. But of course, there's plenty of work left to achieve that.
You know, it is a remarkable run. You know, there's been some brilliant sides in Scottish football that, you know, this group have surpassed in terms of that, in terms of a start to a season. But just as pleasing for me is the level of performance. You know, for the most part, we've hit really good, strong levels of performance every week, and it's a credit to the group, and it is the group because, you know, it's not just the core group of players that have done it for us. It's everyone's chipped in. The guys coming on helped us. The guys coming into the team helped us. So it's a testament to the group. But, yeah, ultimately the key part's still ahead of us. And, you know, there's 8 games to go, 24 points we want to get, and that's our target.
When it gets to this stage in the season, Simon, is it once people, because everybody thinks the league is over, I think I'm not hear too many people disagreeing with that, once you're in that position, is that really when you start talking about, you know, kind of setting your sights on something else, a record,
breaking
or
records,
whatever? I mean, I don't think Ange Postecoglou will ever make a song and dance about it. It doesn't strike you as his style, but will the Celtic fans have an eye?
No, but I think it is his style. I think it is his style to go out and we touched on it before, when they get to 4-5-0 in games, I've seen
no,
them
I mean,
for
I mean
six,
sort of externally to come out and say, oh, we're going for this points tally. You know, he sort of just, he's very much plays everything with a straight bat.
Yeah.
Externally, I mean.
Yeah, but he is very straight talking, but I have no doubt that they'll have their eyes on that. As we said about the treble, I quite like it. I like the approach. It's refreshing. But they've got 8 games to do it, and, you know, they have to go and win every game to, and what a statement it would be. But it's still 8 difficult games. We watched them at the weekend there. I thought Ross County competed really well. I don't think Celtic were at their best by any stretch of the imagination. So you still have to go out and win the games.
I mean, win everything would take you to what,
109?
That would be winning absolutely everything. You don't need me to tell you, drop a couple and you're still, Brendan Rodgers 106 points, Gordon DL.
Well, the positive thing for him is it's doable, and the way they're going about their business. The only hurdles for me is Rangers, the big games, and they seem to handle them very, very well. You're talking about trebles just now. I think that even though the Rangers could go there and have a little bit of glimmer of hope if they won on Saturday, I still think Celtic will go on and lift the title. You look at then it comes the Scottish Cup semi-final, because no disrespect to the other two semi-finalists, I feel that the winner of that will probably go and lift the Scottish Cup. So there's a lot of positive stuff there for Ange Postecoglou.
Well, you say that, but I'm looking at the guy that killed it for us in 1994.
Yeah, well, you were playing Sunday. We targeted you. We left you on the ball. That was your tactics.
You do not. I know you.
I forgot you played in that game.
I know you said that you were new to this Tuesday
don't
format.
Bum me
up. I know I brought that up. You don't bum him up because he doesn't.
He's talking about it. It is relevant, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Shocks happen, and he once was part of a shock. Fine, okay.
Yeah, listen. I can't disagree with that.
The other side of it, I've been in a couple of people's company recently. And they have had the little slip of describing the semi-final as the final, because people's attitude will be that.
Exactly. Dangerous. Let's bring in Ross, who's a Celtic fan, and get his take on it. Ross, how are things looking in that regard? You know, record points, totals, the job Ange Postecoglou is doing. What are your general thoughts?
Hi guys, hope you're all well.
Thank you.
I think where Ange has got Celtic now is remarkable, and the job he's done since he's been here, no one could have predicted that. I just feel like now, with Ange, it's every time there's a job coming up in England, he's always the first name, or he's on that list, or he's getting offered, or he's getting mentioned about jobs. And I think the Celtic fans are just so happy that he's our manager, and the fact that he's here speaks volumes in terms of him as a manager, because he has changed Celtic as a club. When he also took the job, Celtic were in a mess, and now we're on the brink of doing another treble. But I just feel like now, with Ange, it's every time there's a job coming up, I'm not saying people are trying to force him out the door, but it's, in a way, he's getting mentioned about leaving Celtic, and I don't think that's even on his mind at the moment.
Well, see, here's the problem, Ross, because no one has brought it up at all on this show, and now you have, which is great, because if I bring it up, everyone gets all hot and bothered and suggests that we're trying to drive Ange Postecoglou away, which makes literally no sense, but that's an argument for another day. But Ross has brought it up,
yeah,
and I can just sit back and let you two discuss it, knowing it was nothing to do with me.
Listen, the positive spin, people doing their job as well, there's always going to be interest. It's the same with players. It's the same. I think Kyogo was linked with somebody today as well. If you're doing your job, you're always going to, and it gives people something to talk about. But I'm sure the guy himself quashed it recently. I'm sure he said he'd plenty still to do at Celtic, so I don't see him moving in the near future.
I think Celtic fans need to get over this. They've got to realise that that's a compliment.
Yeah.
You're right, Sid. It's a compliment. It's not people trying to, in Scotland, force him out of Scotland. Of course it's not. It's a compliment to the man and the job that he's doing at Celtic Park. Because he's doing that good a job that if, when teams lose their managers in England, which is quite frequent now, they look for the best manager available. They could come maybe and look at Postecoglou. Of course they will, because the job he's doing here is terrific. And I think you're right. It's not just managers, it becomes players as well. Players up here use it as a stepping stone to go to the biggest league in the world down in England. Of course they do, because of the money and the finance and everything that goes with it. But I'm sad. I don't think Postecoglou is one of these guys that gets easily led. I think he knows where he wants to go in his career. He knows what he's all about, and I think it'll be about timing for him. Will he eventually leave Celtic? Of course he will. But I think it'll be in his terms and when and where he wants to go.
Surely not that English club again. Surely not the same path.
Leicester.
You can't. Surely, I just
bottom three.
Brendan Rodgers went to the same place. Kind of that.
Where were they when?
Well, they were higher than that for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. I just don't see it. I don't see it. There's a lot to play for at Celtic, and again he goes on record about this kind of project and certain chapters of it, and the Champions League beckoning again. Why are you smiling at me?
No, I genuinely am smiling at something entirely different, and that might reveal itself in due course. Anyway,
I've got to be honest, right, I know what you're saying because of the position, right? So if Leicester was mid-table just now, not in the relegation battle, are you answering the same? Because the reason I'm saying this to you, Sid, is simple. I stood in this studio when people were saying Brendan Rodgers is going to Leicester, and I'm going, absolutely no chance. Yeah. Look at what he's got to win at Celtic. Look what he's built, blah, blah, blah. 2 days later, he's a Leicester City manager. Yeah. I'm not saying that again about Ange Postecoglou, but I would never say never in football the way it goes about.
Ross, I'm just wondering how many people have just turned on and are gripping their steering wheel. I can't believe they're trying to get Ange Postecoglou away to Leicester. I'm going to give them
fault.
Your number, Ross. It's your fault.
No, I'm not, as I say, guys, I'm not sitting here saying that anybody's trying to force him. And God, get what you're saying about obviously eventually we'll leave. I know that's going to happen, and that's just modern day football. But I just feel like now it's every time a job comes up, Ange's name's on it. He's always in the list. And then it's like when I was reading this morning about him on the list at Leicester, I was thinking myself, surely he's not going to do a Brendan Rodgers and get the back door. But I don't think Ange is that sort of guy. And I think there's still a lot to play for at Celtic. And I think he wants a crack at the Champions League. And rightly so. I'm not saying we're going to go and win the Champions League, but I think he wants to take Celtic to a certain level that we've not been before. And at the end of the day, I'm just glad that he's still their manager and he's here. And I think the job he's done is absolutely tremendous, and long may it continue.
Thank you very much, Ross. 01419511025. It's a great time to call. You could be on next.
01419511025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Simon Donnelly and Gordon DL are here. It's 01419511025, and it's Twitter at ClydeSSB. So get in touch, let us know what you're thinking, whether it is the breaking news today, if you like, that Douglas Park is stepping down as Rangers chairman, or maybe you're already setting your sights Saturday lunchtime, Celtic Park, for the visit of Rangers. Do let us know. Davey is in East Kilbride. How are you, Davey?
I'm all right, gents. How are you doing?
Not bad at all. Can't complain. What have you got for us?
Well, I was basically phoning in to continue the chat about Ange Postecoglou, the remarkable job he's done since he came in at Celtic. Mm-hmm. The fact that he's continually linked with every job in England, especially one that's just been vacated by an ex-recent manager at Celtic. And it just strikes me, when are people going to learn? Look, this man's already come out and stated his case. He stated after the cup final, you'll be surprised how long I'm here at Celtic. That's a mission statement, if nothing else. And yet, every day, he's been linked to every job, for the First Minister of Scotland to Leicester, to every day back and forth.
Yeah, again, look, we tend to go around in circles when it gets to that point, Simon, because we had this discussion about Leeds. And I don't think anyone needs a lecture from me on how the sort of news cycle works. But Leeds in particular, I feel like that gathered pace because I remember the Leeds correspondent or whatever from Sky Sports News is outside Elland Road when Jesse Marsh goes, and he mentions Ange Postecoglou's name. The next day, Paul Robinson, former Leeds keeper, goes on Sky Sports News and says, I'd like Ange Postecoglou. And then obviously people are going to react to that. You're not just then going to ignore it and pretend it doesn't happen. I do take Davey's point that, you know, it does feel like it's happening a lot. I don't really know where the Leicester one comes from, but I also don't think you can stop it. And to repeat what we said, for anyone that's joining us, this is a prime example. Me or any of the pundit, we have not once mentioned Ange Postecoglou in Leicester since that job became vacant. Not once. But Davey wants to talk about the fact that everyone's linking him to it, and then here we are having that discussion. So I did say we were going round in circles, so consider me back to where I started.
Yeah, listen, we are going round in circles. I almost kind of have a chuckle to myself when I look at the social media when the next jobs, and almost to the point now where a couple of jobs come up at the weekend and I'm thinking it, you know.
See?
I wonder how long, you know what I mean? How long is it going to be before somebody mentions Ange? But I agree with Davey, and I said that with the last caller, Ross. He came out and kind of quashed that. And I take this guy, never met him. I've watched the way he's come into Celtic, how he's went about his business, how he talks, how he deals with the media, recruitment, the way he puts his team out, everything about him I like. And I think he's a man of his word. And I know things can change in football overnight, but he more or less came out and said that, just as Davey's saying. So I don't see him going anywhere anytime soon.
See, they've not all met him, Gordon, eh?
Nah, nice teammate. I'll introduce you one day.
You must have heard this story. I know you're not always on with this guy.
Have you
met him,
have
you? Are you serious?
A teammate. I played with him in the
South Melbourne, 1984.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, me and Big Ange.
Right.
He played middle of part. I played.
No, that's not true. I don't think he did.
That was the first game I was on the bench, right? But then after
regular listeners have heard this many times, but to bring you up to speed, when Ange Postecoglou is named the Celtic manager, this guy can't even remember what he had for breakfast, is going, I recognise that name. I think I played against him when I was in Australia.
You didn't even recognise
him. And it turns out they were in the same team. But he only lasted a couple of weeks. Anyway,
we digress. I agree with what everybody's saying, right? And I said it's a compliment and everything. But I think Ange Postecoglou has got a job to finish at Celtic. He obviously loves the club. He's built the club brilliant. The fans love him. The love's there. But you're not telling me, I don't care who it is, he would leave for someone. I'll give you a perfect example, right? And it will not happen. But say Chelsea lost their manager, went for Ange Postecoglou.
Yeah, but then that's the point, isn't it? If you're saying it won't happen, then... If Leicester's hypothetical, which it appears to be, then that's whatever but the level above that
but,
is.
Yeah, but if you see Graham Potter going to Chelsea from Brighton, then I'm sure every Celtic fan will scream down this radio, down the mics, that Celtic are a far bigger club than Brighton.
Yeah, they might, but England as a collective, but they don't look upon us that way, do they?
I think Ange Postecoglou will be the manager of Celtic to the end of the season, and then on after that. I think he will eventually move because he is attracting interest. Of course he's turning heads in England. You would be foolish if you were a owner or a club or a chief exec and you're looking for a new manager. You'd be foolish not to look at the job that Ange Postecoglou. And the reason being is two things for me. I think his strengths are his style of football, which I think every Celtic fan likes, and his transfer windows, Gordon, have been brilliant.
I can't believe the number of Celtic fans calling us up and asking us to discuss Ange Postecoglou to Leicester. My mind is blown. Tongue in cheek, obviously, Davey. Saturday, we're hearing from the manager there as well. You know, record points tally, for instance, are those the next steps? I assume you think the league is in the bag.
Well, you would think so at a stage, but I was alive long enough for Helicopter Sunday, so no count my chickens too early. But more importantly, it's about the cup. We need to get the cup stitched up. The league's, we've got a healthy lead in the league, and we just need to build up on that. Get the cup secured and move on from there. But there's absolutely no way Ange Postecoglou is going to leave Celtic Football Club at this time of his career. He's already stayed there for a while. He's gave what I've already said I consider to be a mission statement. Leave the guy alone, let him do his job, and hawk other people about for his jobs down south. And by the way, see while I'm on, I'm probably speaking out of turn here because I'm not a Rangers fan, as you can obviously guess. But see all this talk about Douglas Park, I've been on Facebook all day, and all I keep seeing is, yes, get rid of him, that's Park gone. Careful what you wish for, boys. Because I remember when it was, oh, we got rid of David Murray and Craig White's coming in. How'd that turn out? Or when King came in. King came in and lent money to Rangers Football Club, and I apologise on my man here, but my understanding was all the board members lent money to the football club on the guarantee that they wouldn't take a penny of interest out of it. Well, apparently King came up across a year later with a hidden contract and took interest out of it. So if you're batting to get rid of Douglas Park and bring King back in, I would say be very false prophets and be very careful how you proceed.
Davey's a wise man. I don't want to know what else he's been looking at on Facebook all day. Sounds like he's been a busy man. That was Davey in East Kilbride there on 01419511025. Like,
see what I'll say, Gordon. See what Davey's saying there about leaving Ange alone. I don't think Ange will be bothered one bit with any of that. I don't think he'll be taking any notice of it. So it's not a case of leaving him alone if you.
Yeah, and then because like we said, then it has to be an element of positivity about it. It has to be that, because if he wasn't
doing
a good
job.
We couldn't do it. We didn't get laughed at for that, you know. So anyway, you can sense the.
I think he'll be in the dugout Saturday for everybody who's listening.
I think you might be right. 01419511025 is the number you also need for this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. 01419511025. Like we said, the lines do close at 7. So if you want to take on Gordon DL or Simon Donnelly, now is the time. to call. Look forward to one of you playing next. Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Simon Donnelly and Gordon Dalziel are here. It's 0141 951 1025. So get in touch. Let us know what's on your mind tonight. If you're just joining us, I've got no idea where you've been. It better be a good excuse. We've been talking about the stepping down of Douglas Park, no longer the Rangers chairman, to be replaced by John Bennett. Quite a bit coming in on that. There's quite a big game at the weekend, just in case you hadn't heard. So we're already looking to that one as well. And Celtic fans have been phoning up to discuss Ange Postecoglou to Leicester. Nothing to do with me, trust me. So if you want to add to that, please do. If you want to move on to something else, it's the same number.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. I'm looking forward to this. It was another victory though for it was Roger Hanna last night. He's tough to beat, you know.
Where was it? About 7 or something, probably.
No, I mean, it was close with his minus 1. There was 1 in it. So, yeah.
You ever watched Roger playing?
No, but I looked at
he's
the questions. I think I would only get 2.
He's down.
I've struggled.
He sits with his eyes closed. It's a good method. Good.
But then the thing is, you copied that for a while, yeah, and it
lost every game.
No,
probably.
No, it worked at first, but then you lost. So,
but I had one eye open, one eye shut. Yeah, I had only one. I was sort of a winking.
Is that what that was?
Oh, yeah, I did say that.
Disturbing.
Yeah.
Anyway,
Mark. I'm glad you said that.
Winking, he said. Yeah. Mark is on the line to take part tonight. Mark, how are you?
Not doing bad, how are you?
Good, thanks. Is this the first time?
Aye, first time
good,
caller.
Good, good, good. I like that. And what made you call tonight? You fancied a crack at one of these two in particular?
I just keep saying I'm going forward good. And never do, exactly. So.
Exactly. No time like the present. Heads, it will be Simon Donnelly. Tails, it will be Gordon Dalziel. You ever seen this guy play, Simon Donnelly?
No, I've never.
He's like,
are you good, Chai?
He's like a master of the Cliff Thorburn win.
The Cliff Thorburn of
you slow.
No,
just grind
like,
something.
Just
out.
Like 2-1,
1-0.
Oh,
that's good. I like that.
A 1-0 or a 2-1.
Anyway, it's Tails, so it's you. You're in for a treat, Simon.
Get those eyes shut.
Sit back, watch a master.
Wow,
we Mark's got to get blown right out of that motor here.
You've been called many things.
Pull over, Mark. Handbrake on.
I'm going to give you some of something else nice and loud in your ear so that you can't hear us.
Come on then.
Right, he's gone. Good, that's what I like, nice and silent. Right, Mark, 30 seconds. Just answer as many as you can and pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
Yep.
Right, let's go. 30 seconds starts now. Who managed Rangers to three in a row from 2009 to 2011?
Pass.
Who left Celtic for Bayer Leverkusen in January 21?
Frimpong.
Which side finished bottom of the Scottish Premiership last season?
Pass.
Which former Scotland international currently plays for Crystal Palace?
Pass.
Who's got more clean sheets in the league this season, David Marshall or Alan McGregor?
Alan McGregor.
In what decade did Aberdeen last play in a European final?
1980s.
All right, let's bring back Gordon. How are you?
I'm okay.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Good. Same set of questions, ready?
Go.
Who managed Rangers to three in a row from 2009 to 2011?
McLeish.
Who left Celtic for Bayer Leverkusen in January 21?
Frimpong.
Which side finished bottom of the Scottish Premiership last season?
Dundee.
Which former Scotland international currently plays for Crystal Palace?
MacArthur.
Who's got more clean sheets in the league this season, David Marshall or Alan McGregor?
David Marshall.
In what decade did Aberdeen last play in a European final?
80s.
Okay.
Because you'd done me with the McGregor, didn't you? I thought that was a sort of a...
Did you try the double bluff?
Yeah,
We'll wait and find out.
That's nonsense.
We'll find out. Mark, how do you think it went?
I think you may have done maybe one. I'm not sure.
Walter Smith, 2009 to 2011. I mean, Mark, you sound like a particularly young man. Is that accurate?
Young enough.
Should you have still known that?
Aye, probably.
I mean, you need to be really young to not remember it. Don't get me wrong, but just in case it wasn't right in your...
Mark, I'm a genius at this and I didn't get it, so don't beat yourself up.
Jeremy Frimpong, you both got that.
Yeah.
Bottom of the table last season was Dundee. Oh. I'm devastated to say, Mark. 2-1. James MacArthur is the Crystal Palace.
No, 3-1, is it?
It's 3-1.
Mark, start the engine. First gear.
Who's got more clean sheets in the league this season, David Marshall or Alan McGregor? So explain your thinking here. So
I thought you were throwing him a curveball.
So you think McGregor's the obvious one?
Yeah.
So you went for Marshall?
Because I thought it'd be a trick question.
But you're
question.
Now regretting that, and you think it is Alan McGregor?
Yeah.
It's David Marshall. Yes!
And what did wee Marky say?
He said Alan McGregor.
See you later, wee guy.
Who knew that Gordon DL was.
Get the furry dice hot the, on you
had
go.
The mind games.
He almost corrected himself as well.
By the way, I took a swap there. You could
so
have done me.
It's 9-8. Now, David Marshall's played 10 more games.
Doesn't matter, wee Mark.
That's a good question, yep. Tricky.
And do you hear that? Do you hear that? Sweet Mark's engine.
Aberdeen boom, boom. Last played a European final in the 80s. Mark, Mark got that as well, though.
There's Mark another one that. In there.
Is that a 5-2?
I don't know what it was. By the way, Mark, 5-2 isn't it close? 3-2's close. 2-1's close. 5-2's a drubbing, mate.
I'm not phoning back.
See, this is the problem. We need people to phone back, and you and Wilson and Bartley, these are all terrible losers.
Because they give it to us. I love it.
Mark, I enjoyed it. Hopefully you'll phone back at some time in the next 10 years.
Hopefully.
Good man, that was Mark on the line.
I hope that car's full.
As much as I'm sure you're delighted to be sharing the studio with this guy and his behaviour, are you upset to be separated from your big pal this week? Do you think he would?
Big Marv.
Do you think he'll bring in his manager of the month trophy?
I was just about to say manager of the month.
Do you think he'll bring it in?
I would if I was him.
Did he get manager of the month?
Yeah. Yep.
Ah, brilliant. All over his
Instagram.
Posted it
everywhere.
He's not daft.
I'll tell you who they got on Saturday because I'm betting against him. Who they got?
I actually don't know. It's on not Saturday. Even up. I tell them we only put the fixtures up. We only put them up down to the championship midweek. We put the lower leagues in when it gets to the Saturday, but at this stage we only look
manager.
I was listening at the bit where who were they playing at weekend? Was it Peterhead?
Yeah,
Peterhead 2-1, worst team in Scotland.
Peterhead had equalised, and then I was glad to see it later on.
That's probably won it for him, wasn't it?
What's that? At the weekend?
Coming back from 1-1.
Alloa away.
Oh.
He took his management team into the pictures though as well. It wasn't just
everybody does that.
He brought the staff in.
I think that's now gone too far, right? That used to be admirable. It used to be nice. What I'm now looking for is the next manager who just stands himself and says, it's all about me.
That's exactly what I went through. Well, as soon as I was a manager and I won.
How many did you win?
A few. I was very successful.
Just you.
That was just me.
Yeah, I knew you would.
No way. I'm one of those. I'd like to thank my staff. I'm the main man. I make the decisions. They're only workers. They're helpers.
Honestly, who'd work under this guy?
My big mate Gordon Marshall was in the picture as well. So
he's a goalie coach. That's right. Yes.
He's
doing
that. Good
staff I've got.
I'm
assistant. 01419511025. That is the number you need. Let's bring in Willie, who's a Rangers fan. How are you, Willie?
Not bad, mate. That's good. A good one, by the way. If you phone up, maybe sometime in the 10 years you'll go on. If you're a Celtic supporter. Sorry, Gordon, how you doing, mate?
I don't even really get that joke, Willie, I must admit.
That's not a joke, mate. That's the truth.
Explain it to me then.
Angie this, Angie that, Angie the Nixon. You know what I mean? I'm not being funny. See this group of players at Ibrox? I really feel sorry for Michael Beale. Now, I lost my ticket because of that COVID nonsense, because I don't do emails and all that, right? I'm what they call a nuts and bolts man. I'm old school. See that Kent? He'd be the first one out the door. I don't know what the hell they see in him. See the misses that he had on Saturday? He should be ashamed of himself. Jamie Murphy was a far better winger and player than he'll ever be. But unfortunately for him, I was at the game at Rugby Park. Jamie Murphy fell and hurt himself on that stupid surface at Rugby Park. And that surface is that good, by the way, that McInnes has taken him to play on grass at Largs before the game on Saturday. Do you know that?
I did, yes.
I didn't know, by the way, about Dougie Park. I don't know what the story is with that. It was that Graham Park, by the way. This is exclusive. This isn't nonsense. It was Graham Park that gave that Kachina the job. And it isn't the Rangers that's paying any compensation. It's coming out of Dougie's pocket. Why he is still on that board, I don't know. I mean, I was a shareholder years ago before all the nonsense, right? So I can't go to shareholder meetings the way I could years ago. But he's still on the board. Dougie had problems when he was there in Spain. You know, he's got a heart condition, right?
Right, hold on, right, just let me stop for a second, because
Cyclopedia.
In one solitary minute, we've gone from COVID to Ryan Kent and Jamie Murphy, bizarrely, and then to Pedro Caixinha,
Celtic calls,
Largs, Kilmarnock's pitch, and Douglas Park's heart, which, by the way, I'm not entirely sure we should be discussing people's medical history privately or publicly on the show. So let's pour a bit of water on that and apologise for that and recap a little bit. Willie, I am always sympathetic to any player who comes out of the Motherwell Academy. It's how I'm wired. But Jamie Murphy better than Ryan Kent? Are we serious?
On his day, aye. He was a better winger than he'll ever be. I'll tell you another player that was better than him, Greg Docherty. And Docherty couldn't get a game either. Gerard said to him, he says, look, he says, I know you're a great player, this, that, and the next thing. And there was another one that left. Gerard didn't want him to leave. What'd you call him? Oh, I mean his name.
You just kind of knew Willie's call was heading that way, didn't you?
We had to end disaster. I can't remember his name.
Now, sometimes,
tell me that gets bleeped out.
Sometimes I just lie on here and say, oh, we seem to have lost Willie. We've got technical difficulties. But Willie dropped a word that cannot be said on a family show. And on we go.
He was getting too excited.
Is that your first? Is that your first experience of that, Simon?
Nuts and bolts. That's what I liked.
I'm tired after that. I was honestly trying to keep up from COVID and Pedro Caixinha. Anyway, right.
Can we find out who he was talking about? Because he obviously couldn't remember.
He couldn't remember his name.
Look, everybody's got their opinions, and I'm partially glad that the Willie took the time to phone. But I mean, you can criticise players, that's what we're here for. So I don't really mind if people don't rate Ryan Kent. That's not really the point. Willie's comparison, was Jamie Murphy better? Was Greg Docherty better? What would you realistically be basing that on?
Yeah, well, that's Willie's opinion, and at the end of the day, Simon and I have got a different one, or you've got a different one, that's fine. But where I will agree with him, I don't think Ryan Kent's hit the heights of which is probably expected of him this season. There's games you see him, especially early on, you think that, yeah, this is a day. Because Ryan Kent's got good ability, very good ability. On his day, he can be a match winner. But I don't think he's been consistent this year. And I think that's why the frustration of Willie was coming out there. He was naming players. Now, Jamie Murphy was a good player. Of course he was. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I don't think Greg Docherty's in that position category.
Yeah, he was a midfield player and moved down to South. And Greg Docherty was a great professional, good player as well. Everybody's got, you can ask everybody different opinions of a player. I liked him better and blah, blah, blah. But I do agree with Will in the sense that I don't think Ryan Kent's lived up to his reputation this season.
And I think that's what frustrates.
I mean, you see it at times.
I
think Willie was taking a slightly more extreme view on those things, though.
Yeah,
I don't think Willie was saying Ryan Kent hasn't lived up to his hype this season. He wants rid of him. He wants the full thing ripped up.
I think he got a wee bit excitable, Willie. Slightly.
Especially after all.
But I think the frustration with Rangers fans is, you know, you watch Ryan Kent at different times and what he can do, but maybe just, well, not maybe, he doesn't do it on a consistent basis. And I think that's something that's been thrown at him, you know, most of his time at Ibrox.
I don't think that. I think if Michael Beale could maybe convince Ryan Kent to sign, I think the majority of Rangers fans would be happy with that. But I think he would need to give a lot more if he was going to stay at Rangers.
Still recovering, to be quite honest. And Willie's getting a lot of positive feedback, actually, on social media. And lots of people, for whatever reason, wanted to hear more. But look,
it is impossible.
It's certain situations you get into on live radio. All good fun, sort of. Right, but again, Willie's no longer here. But Willie's clearly furious, right, about this team and where they're at. And I get, you mentioned it earlier, you know, second's nowhere. So you can be frustrated and you can be angry to a point, you know, 9 points behind. Can it be that bad though when you talk about the run of results since Michael Beale came in? You know, the points tally since then, still in the Scottish Cup. Yes, we'll find out what happens there in a couple of weeks, but can it be that bad? Because I know you're judged against Celtic, fine, but at some point you're going to need to acknowledge that they're an absolute juggernaut, so you're going to need to do something spectacular to, and in fact right now, there's until Saturday and it might change, Michael Beale and the group of players he's got at this moment in time literally couldn't do any more in the league. So I just wonder about the extent of Willie's rage about the team currently.
I think anyone criticising Rangers just now, supporters wise, is probably because of the style of play. I think when Michael Beale came in, everybody, you know, he came in with a reputation not of being a great manager, because he'd hardly been in the job, but this about how good he was at a coaching and the fast forward football and everything on the front foot. I don't think Rangers fans have seen that often enough. Yes, he's getting results, and that's the most important thing for a coach or a manager. You've got to get results first and foremost. But apart from, I thought they were brilliant at Hibs. I really did at Easter Road, because I thought Hibs opened up against them at home and Rangers absolutely destroyed them. Where I think the frustration comes is at Ibrox just now, because a lot of Rangers fans seem to complain about the performances there, and I think that's down to the away team, not Celtic. I'm talking about teams like Dundee United and Hibs and Motherwells and Kilmarnock come to Ibrox and sitting in and frustrating Rangers. And I think it frustrates the Rangers fans that they don't find a quicker way to break them down and score the goals that they should be. If you look at Celtic, on the other hand, they find a way and eventually score two, three, four goals, whether it be the three substitutions coming on and making a big impact in the second half or whatever. And I think that's where the frustration's coming from most of the Rangers fans just now.
I think we need a breather.
Yeah.
01419511025.
He's still talking. He thinks he's on Radio Clyde.
Give us a call, join in.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 01419511025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Simon Donnelly and Gordon Dieller here. It's 01419511025. You can get in touch on Twitter, of course. And at this point of the evening, we generally bring emails to the table just to make it even more confusing. But the reason for that is time for the full time teaser. That's when you, the listener, comes up with a nice bit of trivia, a nice question, and we test out the pundits to see if they can answer your question. Simon Donnelly and Gordon Dale, it's like playing with a new teammate.
New team,
you know,
it's
like
a new team.
The relationships,
new partnership.
And they get used to each other's sort of style of play, that sort of thing. I can tell you, Simon, from experience, Gordon's style is to shout out every name that he can possibly think of and just hope that something sticks.
Yeah. That's good. That's
pretty good.
It's a good way of doing it.
So there's a. I like this question, tough but doable. Derek has sent it in. He wants you to name the last eight England one cap wonders who've played in Scotland. Some of these are tough, right? So he's looking for the last eight England one cap wonders who have played in Scotland.
Oh, he's right in.
Chris Sutton.
He's 10th on the list. You'll be devastated.
Oh my goodness.
What?
Alan Thompson.
I'll tell you what, we can call it 10, and you might feel better about yourself then that you've got Alan that. Thompson. Will we call it 10?
Thompson. Go, mate.
Yes.
Right.
Right. You're,
so we're not taking Sutty.
Yeah, no, you've made life hard for yourself, sorry. You've just upped it
so
to
we're,
10.
We're up to, yeah. We're up for, okay.
I don't know why Derek said 8 anyway, but. Oh, it's not like you.
He's not sure.
Joey Barton.
So what you find is he waits and then the phone will mysteriously go and then starts getting the answers.
Joey Barton.
Yes.
Joey Barton, there you
well
go.
Done. Well done.
Well done. Remember him?
Yep.
One cap wonders.
Wilson.
What?
He's a one cap wonder.
Not for England.
Oh no, England.
Oh, come on.
Sorry.
I just want to give Willow some more stick.
Welcome to the Tuesday night.
Oh, sorry about that. Sorry about that.
Going to read the question out to me again. Just, it's not so, just Celtic and Rangers, is
no,
it?
No, just
so Scotland.
The last 10 players who've got one England cap and one only
from
who've played in Scotland.
Scotland.
That's right, it, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, right, that's a different ball game.
How is it different?
Because I thought it was Celtic and Rangers. I was with Sid.
Right,
see,
okay.
There's the reason I keep saying to you, you're reading the question out wrong. You need to brush up on this. That man there, we're new partnership. He right away.
Right. So because you two are as daft as each other and don't listen,
no.
That's somehow my fault.
No.
At no point did I mention Celtic or Rangers.
Scotland.
And I'll play it back. What do you mean Scotland? That's not the bit that was in doubt.
Yes, it was played in Scotland.
Oh dear, anyway.
Not with Rangers,
right,
and Celtic,
okay.
You said
never,
that earlier.
I didn't.
Yes, you
I obviously
did.
Didn't.
It hasn't made any difference yet.
No, it hasn't, you're right. Have you got any from out with Celtic and Rangers that you could that
Barton.
You could think of?
One cat wonders.
Mm.
My goodness, this is
a tricky one.
Roger would have had Dembe now.
Ah, he's got them already. He's texted me.
Probably that. What? Gee, wow.
Okay, I'll leave it with you. Thank you to Derek. You've got them both going full time at Clyde1.com. If you think you've got what it takes, like Derek, to come up with a question and ruin the pundit's evening, like Derek
Sid's
has done,
one. Go.
Full time at Clyde1.com.
Go. Jeffers.
The Fox in the Box, yeah. Francis Jeffers.
That's brilliant.
Tell me
yes.
Mate.
Yes. Yeah, that's brilliant.
Played for Rangers, but played for your beloved as well, Gordon DL. I'm sure you remember that fondly. Okay, we'll leave it there. 4 down and 6 to get. Now, obviously, lots of the discussion so far on Douglas Park and Rangers, and we'll continue to look ahead to a huge game in Glasgow at the weekend. But one of the other biggest stories, if you like, from the weekend, and it's one that's been bubbling away quite a bit, and one, to be honest, that we didn't get the chance to pay as much attention to last night as it potentially deserves for Scottish football's wider public. Gordon DL, what is happening to Hearts?
I'm sure Robbie Nielsen will be asking the same. They looked very comfortable indeed for third place. All of a sudden, Aberdeen are breathing down their necks. St Mirren aren't too far away, and they play St Mirren, who will fancy their chances. Now, you can look back and say, can we find excuses? Yeah, he's had his fair share of injuries to key players at key times, and he's still got a big injury list, but he's still got a big squad full of quality players. You look at Saturday against Kilmarnock with the lineup, the personnel he's got at his disposal. He's going through a bad time, and Hearts fans, I thought the Hearts fans actually loved Robin Hilson.
Did you?
Yeah, I did.
I'll give you that impression.
I don't think they were too pleased when he left Hearts, but yeah, when he come back and...
Oh, it feels like it's always been a bumpy ride.
Do you think so?
Yeah, absolutely. No, let's bring in Adam.
I think they found him again. I think they get round him again.
Well, I'll tell you what, Adam will tell us. Adam's a Hearts fan on the line. Let's just start there just to put him right. Adam, it's always been a bit of a bumpy relationship, has it not?
Yeah, I think so. I think first tenure in 2016, obviously the fact that Hearts were eliminated en route to Hibs winning the Scottish Cup and ending that drought, I think that was perhaps the key factor for Robbie's first tenure, and the hatred among some of the support, along with them leaving for MK Dons. I'm stick towards the manager going down south, but when it's to a club like MK Dons, with all due respect to the third tier of English football, I think we had higher ambitions for Robbie first time around.
Right, that's the history lesson. What about right now? Where are you at? How concerned are you?
Very. I was there at Rugby Park on Saturday, and it was as poor a Hearts performance as I can recall. I mean, that's now 4 defeats in 5 Scottish Premiership matches, 5 defeats in our last 6 in all competitions, with the only exception being a 3-0 victory over St Johnstone at Tynecastle, a month ago. So, yeah, 5 away wins in the Scottish Premiership last season and only 3 this. It's not exactly a new problem, but when the performances are as poor and it looks as routine for a side that are battling relegation as Kilmarnock are, that's when the concern is at its peak for me.
And with that then, to quickly go back to the history lesson, comes a lot of criticism for the manager in particular. How fair is that? Is it over the top? Are we at that stage yet? How do you view the manager now?
I've not been a Robbie fan in his second spell so far, I've got to be honest, but there are some statistics that go in his favour. At Tynecastle against non-Old Firm teams this season, we have been pretty consistent. We've picked up 31 points out of a potential 33 with 10 wins, and the only draw being at home to Livingston with a last gasp Josh Janelle equaliser. So there are things that do go in his favour, but the performances away from home certainly just have not been good enough. And for the most part, it seems like a Robbie Nielsen Hearts team is dependent on one player to provide the creativity. Previously, it was Barry Mackay. It's not happened for him so far this season. And then Robert Snodgrass seemed to take that mantle, and in recent weeks has been poor. I mean, the young lad David Watson for Kilmarnock is half his age, and I thought he absolutely schooled him on Saturday.
Simon, everybody wants to sort of voice their opinion, you know, like right now, and for things to be decisive and knee jerk. Is that difficult when you're so right now? Hearts sit in third. So if you're Robbie Nielsen, you're saying, well, with all due respect, you're not going higher than that. So yeah, if you can lead Hearts to third in the next couple of weeks, then you'd have to say job done. However, as Adam quite rightly points out, it is a wretched run of form, and Aberdeen were supposed to be in crisis. You'll remember it a few weeks ago. We're talking Darvel, we're talking El Sacchio, all that sort of stuff. Yeah. Complete crisis club who could conceivably this weekend go above Hearts. And then you don't even want to think of the reaction amongst the Hearts fans if Hibs were to manage the same thing. So is he right in a sort of tightrope, if you like, where it could quite conceivably kick on and be a successful season, but it's also got the potential to go horribly wrong?
Yeah, I think so, but I think that's just the nature of it. I think Hearts last season got third place quite comfortably. They've been in national finals of late. Adam is more qualified than me to talk about how Hearts perform. He pays his money to go and watch them week to week, and they're on a, you know, they're on a sticky bit of form at the moment. Four defeats out of five is not good at all. You have to give teams like Aberdeen credit, the job that Barry Robson's went and did up there, turned it round. He's got them back moving in the right direction, and it's just the way it is, you know. When you do not get results and you go in a bit of form like that, you do find yourself open to criticism and under pressure.
See where I think they've lost that bit of momentum is, you ask any player, going back as well, Tynecastle was all, they'll all say the same. Yeah. Tynecastle was a very difficult
Adam's
place.
Adam's saying that still.
But that's what Adam's saying as well. But Celtic and Rangers are finding it quite comfortable going there at the moment as well.
I think looking at this fixture just now, it would probably be a gimme for me that Hearts would beat St Mirren at Tynecastle on Saturday. I've got a sneaky feeling St Mirren could go along there and upset.
Oh, you mean like prior to the last couple of weeks?
I just think they've lost a bit of confidence. The fans, as you say now, Gordon, are starting to turn against Robbie. I'll give him his excuse. He has got a very lengthy injury list to good quality players, but he's got a very good squad, and a big squad full of international players, full of, you know, very good players that he should be getting more out of.
How much leeway does the injury list provide, Adam, or are fans sort of over that now?
I think for the most part they're over that. I mean, Benny Beningame hasn't kicked the ball for us all season. Liam Boyce has been out for a good chunk, and Hearts were picking up results. I think after the World Cup break, they went to mid-February without defeat. So they were turning out these results, even despite Craig Gordon's injury, Craig Halkett, Toby Sibbett came in, has been immense for the most part. So I feel as though it was kind of papering over cracks. We were sort of able to find like replacements in that time, but it's getting to the stage now where the style of play is just so predictable. It's passive, it's pedestrian, it's sideways. And I think you boys are right. I mean, if I was Stephen Robinson coming to Tynecastle on Saturday, I'd be saying, frustrate the crowd early doors and we're in with a chance here, despite St Mirren's woeful record at Tynecastle.
I suppose that, Simon, because things change so quickly, this won't bring comfort to any Hearts fan, Adam or anyone else. If you had said at the start of the season, you know, you'll make it to April and you will be sitting there in third, you'll have been there for most of the season, then you would have taken it. But it's the sort of drop off. It's the fact that to everybody it seemed like third was in the bag. Mm-hmm. So if you then lose it from that position, it goes
It's momentum as well and form. Remember we sat and spoke about Motherwell last year and everybody complained about Motherwell. They were still in the top six at the time, but they were in a terrible run of form. Hearts are in a terrible run of form just now, and teams are closing that gap. I'm looking at the 45 points they're sitting on. Hibs are 5 points behind them, so it can go one of two ways. But I think I'm with Gordon. I think Hearts are strong enough to get out of this little bit of bad form and kick on and secure third place.
How worrying is the goalkeeping situation, Adam? We know Craig Gordon's story. Xander Clark has come in and done ever so well, and now he is injured. We don't necessarily know how long for. Is that an area that concerns you?
Yeah, very much so. I don't think Ross Stewart is of a sufficient calibre to be Heart of Midlothian's starting goalkeeper. And then we're turning to young Harry Stone, who seems to have a bright future ahead of him. But again, it's a big gamble given the current predicament, both on and off the park. So, yeah, that's a big concern, even if the defence in front of any goalkeeper are conceding goals left, right and centre as well.
before you leave us then. Crystal ball. Is Robbie Nielsen going to get this right? Is it all going to end well?
Something tells me that our split fixtures, if they are as the way that they're predicted, will have enough games at Tynecastle to get us over the line. But that's just papering over cracks as far as I'm concerned.
Wow, but interesting times ahead. Thank you to Adam. You can also find Adam, by the way, on the Perth to Paisley podcast if you want to delve into the Hearts situation in a bit more detail, and certainly one to watch as we build up to the weekend. Don't get me wrong, I think everyone in this part of the footballing world knows their priority for Saturday lunchtime. But the St Mirren fans going through there, Gordon, they'll fancy that.
Yeah, after a good result, they're in a terrific place, you've got to say. 4 points off Hearts. So could you, if they can get a result, all of a sudden that group between Hearts, Aberdeen and St Mirren open for third place.
I think
it makes it quite exciting as well with that, you know, because last year, as we said, Hearts comfortably got third, but now there's teams there that fancy their chances.
Thanks again to Adam. I've just had a call off air, if you like, to the producer, and it's probably the most interesting call of the night. No offence to the people that have made it on. Willie has phoned back in.
He's finally
remembered who he was trying to talk about.
Who was it?
So I don't know which bit of this went out on air, but you two will remember that as he was scrambling around for the name and he couldn't remember it. That's when it all went a bit wrong. It was Daniel Candeas. There you go. So you can all sleep. You can sleep well tonight.
Yeah, I remember him.
Anyway,
and he reckoned he was what?
Yeah, Willie wants Candeas on one side, Murphy on the other, and Greg Docherty through the middle. Saturday lunchtime. Right, how are we faring on this teaser then? We're looking for the last 10 England one cap wonders.
Is there a goalie
who've also played in Scotland? Kenny has sent in. Kenny's given it a really good goal, you know. You two have got Sutton, Thompson, Barton and Jeffers.
Forster.
No. Ooh. Must have more than one England cap, you would have to imagine. Let me check.
I've only got one.
Because do you know what? Gordon Dale always says there's a goalkeeper.
Goalkeeper, yeah. Always.
Oh, he's got six England caps, Fraser Forster.
There must be a goalie in there.
Why do you.
There will be.
Why do you say that every week?
Tend to just get one cap.
Do they?
Yeah, if you get in your rubbish, out you go. Okay. No seeing again. There a goalkeeper in there, yeah? Right.
Maybe.
Here's my guess, could be totally wrong. The lad that come up from Liverpool, right back, Flanagan.
To Rangers?
Yeah.
Yes, John Flanagan, well done.
Good shoot.
I'm struggling now, mate. I'm really struggling.
So, man. That's
I'm thinking he halfway there. There is a goalkeeper. Yeah. I don't mean giving you that.
He played with Celtic, didn't he?
No, he didn't.
No, I didn't think so. That's it. Well,
this is where you. Oh, I was going to say you've exhausted all of the Old Firm ones, but there is one more Celtic on there. Then it gets tough. You've got me all easy ones
side.
So far.
That side or this side.
One more Celtic.
Oh.
You're looking at me?
No, not necessarily your era, no.
Just that I should get it?
No, just because you played for Celtic. There was no more in it than
that. Right. I really think you should get it as well, to be honest with you.
Steve Guppy.
Yes.
Where did I pull that from?
Other news today. You can keep your calls coming on Douglas Park or this weekend or Hearts. That's what we've discussed so far. Duke is the player of the month. Aberdeen's Duke. I wonder if he's the best player outside the top two in the league this season. There's one for you to ponder for the next couple of minutes. We'll be back next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon Dalziel and Simon Donnelly are here. It's 0141 951 1025. And we are on Twitter as well, at ClydeSSB. If you want to get in touch, please do. These two are trying, to do the full-time teaser tonight. And thanks again to Derek for sending it in. Who are the last 10 England one-cap wonders who've played in Scotland? So you started off with the easy ones. Chris Sutton, Alan Thompson, Joey Barton, Francis Jeffers, John Flanagan and Steve Guppy. Now this is where it gets fun, because the remaining ones did not play for Celtic or Rangers.
One's a goalkeeper, guaranteed.
Okay, I told you that already.
Must be Motherwell, is it?
Again,
it is.
What
it
have
is.
I said earlier to say it that it must be Motherwell?
It must
Why?
Be Motherwell. Why? Because I'm here. I guarantee. Oh, there's a laugh there.
Francis Jeffers used to play for Motherwell.
Like the goalkeeper.
Struggling.
You think I don't know how your mind works. Unfortunately,
give us a club.
The fact that you're saying that means you know who it is because somebody's told you. And now you're trying to pretend Oh, it must be Motherwell. Now watch in the next 2 minutes as I name an ex-Motherwell keeper who happens to be on this list. I can see right through you.
Not at all.
So just tell me who it is.
I don't know.
You do?
No, I don't.
You do?
I don't. We're not going to have this argument. People listen in the car. We're like two schoolboys.
So now he's going to deliberately not give me the answer that somebody texted him just to try and prove me wrong.
I don't know, but okay. I think it's Motherwell.
All right.
Right.
Okay. Well, I'll know now if you get it that you're at it. So.
give us a clue. Ridiculous.
I mean, there's a good Aberdeen one in there, a player. It's just a great answer because, you know, maybe he wasn't up here for long. But he still played for Aberdeen. And then in terms of, oh, do you know what? Hold on though, I think we've got a problem. Ooh. Let me check.
She's wrong.
Because, and by the way, it's not Derek's fault. Derek probably sent this question a week, 10 days ago. He's off the list. Who just got their second England cap last week?
Madison.
James Madison.
I played with Aberdeen, yeah.
There you are. So listen, no
is
blame
that
attached
Aberdeen
to Derek.
You're talking about?
It can easily happen. He sent it in just before Madison got his second cap. So there we go.
Yeah, well, I didn't say Madison because of that.
I'm sure.
Two
so
caps,
there we go. So
got,
it's one fewer that you're looking for. So it's even easier.
We need what, three?
Yeah, we'll try and get them before the end of the show. By the way, this is a debate that I probably should have started earlier than
one's a Motherwell goalkeeper.
I should have started this debate earlier than 10 to 8. And do you know what? I'll remember this, I'll write it down, we'll do it again. Because round about award season time, we usually try and broaden our horizons and say, you know, who's the best player outside of Glasgow's top two? And who's the best player in the bottom six? You know, we try and give a bit of credit where it's due. What did you make of Duke being player of the month?
Mm-hmm.
And to extend it just a bit further, for a bit of fun, for a nice debate, has he been the best player outside the top two this season?
He's certainly been Aberdeen's best player this season, of course he has. He's made a big impact. I'm sure that we don't see the games week in, week out, Gordon, for 90 minutes. But I'll give you one and I can get shot down in flames because I always go for goal scorers. I think Van Veen's return for Motherwell was incredible because, and my argument is quite simply, it was a team that not that long ago we were talking about could be relegated. They're now looking up the way. I think it's just a bit late for the top six. But what's he got? 20 goals?
In all competitions, yeah.
Pretty good.
Simon, I know how hard it is to score. So as much as people will come down, shoot me down flames, go, well, he doesn't work hard enough, doesn't do that. His job's to score goals, and he's certainly done that. So I'll throw that one in there.
I think when he tends to lead the line well, Motherwell will play well as well. So yeah, I would go with those two as well.
Because of the last couple of weeks, we just had Adam on a couple of weeks ago. Lauren Shanklin's got 18.
Shanklin, and I was going to throw
him pre-injury in. Craig Gordon. Maybe then to spin it a different way and maybe annoy the Aberdeen fans. Is he one of the players in the league that you could maybe see getting a move, a big move? You know, Van Veen isn't going to get a big move. He's 132, something along those lines.
What age is Duke?
We know Craig Gordon. Duke's came here. He's 23. He's already got 15 goals for Aberdeen this season.
Yeah. Again,
and like I say, player of the month in a month that, you know, there were a lot of good performers in there as well. And
When you mentioned big move, are you talking about maybe in Scotland? Because only a bigger club, probably in Aberdeen. Well, Hearts, you can say, but I don't think you would leave Aberdeen and go to Hearts. It could be Celtic or Rangers. Are you talking down those sort of lines?
I have no idea. I mean, obviously England would be an option. I don't know to what point. Just think, you know, 23, with the sort of schooling, came from the Benfica Youth Academy, comes over here in his first season for a team that haven't been brilliant all season, and goes and racks up 15 goals from a wide position.
Yeah, bags of potential.
Strong, skillful.
Good age. Yeah, I would certainly be trying to knock out the, you know, going to ground very easy. I think he does that too easy for me. I think if there's a negative, that's it for me. But I think he's got bags of talent. I think he's got, in the modern day game, which frightens defenders, is bags of pace and strength, and he knows where the back end is.
He's found a little bit of form.
His goal against
since
Dundee
Barry
United,
took over.
His
goal what's against, his goals?
He's been fairly consistent. I think if you look, I mean, there was October was a particularly good month for him. And in March there he got the double against Hearts, which was the big game, and scored in the previous game against Dundee United as well.
That goal against Dundee United was fantastic.
Unbelievable,
yeah,
wasn't it?
You great look at bit of skill.
St Johnstone game, he got both in a 2-0 victory as well. Just feels like he's been a real contributor. And I know the Aberdeen fans absolutely love him.
Yeah, what I will say is I think obviously he'll be attracting attention because of the form he's in, so he can keep it up. It may be just a case of someone doesn't fancy him to take a chance this season. If he starts off next year at the same pace and the same ability and probably grown into the league as well, probably getting better, then he'll have a lot of admirers, there's no doubt of that.
Miovsky magic. I wonder who that Twitter support says Duke's miles better than Shankland or Van Veen. I'm never in the business, so I'm going to contradict myself here. I don't know, people are so desperate to take penalties away from penalty takers. Like, you still need to score them. You still need to be then the best penalty taker at your club, and you still need to do it. But obviously Van Veen and Shankland have that as part of their goals total. When Duke doesn't, they're both number nines and Duke isn't, so it does feel like the goal contribution is quite impressive.
Yeah, but I think no disrespect, I think Duke plays in a better team just now than,
well, not than Shankland though.
Yeah, and obviously I think Shankland's a very good player. But I go for someone that at that time when the centre forward was needed because they were in a relegation battle, Van Veen certainly stood up to the mark.
Good month though for Aberdeen. It just shows you the progress. Manager of the month and player of the month double.
Yep,
Barry Robson.
Well, Barry he deserves it for the job that he's doing just now. You know, he's went in there. They were at a low place of after Jim, and you can still see the pictures of Jim walking across Easter Road. You can still go back to that Monday night at Darvel when Aberdeen fans couldn't believe what was going on. But Barry Robson's went in there, and all credit to him, he's got results, and he must be a firm favourite just now. Maybe if he ends the season,
he's been around the club, so maybe a popular, obviously is a popular figure, but you know, he's got them on track, 4 out of 4.
Yeah, and it's a bit early to properly preview the weekend, but you're talking about a Kilmarnock team who, as Willie quite rightly mentioned in his mazy run earlier on, Kilmarnock are having to go and train on grass to boost their away chances, so they head up to Pittodrie this weekend. But there is plenty of time to look forward to that. Simon, this will be the last time we speak to you this week, so all eyes on Celtic Park, 12:30 Saturday. What are your final thoughts?
I'm looking forward to it. Big game incentive. As we started the show, for both, I think Celtic will be too strong. I think they will. I think they came back after an international break. The rhythm wasn't there that they'd left before. You know, battering Hearts through at Tynecastle, getting a difficult one over the line against Hibs at Celtic Park. I didn't feel the rhythm was really there at Dingwall. Cut the players back, I think they'll be in a strong position.
Celtic are 9 points clear, but they've had that 9 point gap for ages. So if you go back when they went 9 points clear so early, it was that everybody was talking about, you know, it's done. And Celtic fans are feeling really dominant about things. Does that make it even more important from their perspective to make sure it doesn't go wrong? Because let's be honest, although the season's gone this way, if it were to go to six, I'm sounding like Hugh Keevans here, right? I do appreciate that. If it were to go at 6 points at this stage in the season, you'd have to consider that close.
Yep.
But it doesn't feel close, if that makes sense. So they'll be desperate to prove their dominance. And Rangers
minutes of football,
will be desperate to try and salvage something.
Sport, nothing's guaranteed in sport. And if I was in the Rangers camp going there, you have to win. As Gordon said, they have to win. If it was reduced to six, then the mentality comes into it as well with Celtic, definitely. And it would be a real shot in the arm for Rangers, you know, and the momentum then would possibly turn. But I don't see it happening.
Yeah, well, look at the run they've been on. We're mentioning record points total, so I do totally take all that on board. It was just a thought. Right, before we leave you, how are you doing on this teaser? What have you got? Three more to get. England one cap wonders have played in Scotland. Sutton, Thompson, Barton, Jeffers, Flanagan, Guppy, and James Maddison was one, but he's actually not anymore because he just got his second cap. So you've only got a couple more to get.
I think we'll need a few clues.
Yeah, need clues.
I told you, Motherwell goalkeeper.
Oh,
what do you want? Plays for Birmingham currently. Just racked up his 500th
John
appearance,
Ruddy.
I think the other night. John Ruddy, well done.
Well done.
I didn't know that actually.
Oh. Behave
quickly.
Came for crew.
Two clubs.
Is it only one more now? Oh, two more. There is. Sorry, no, I've led you down a path. There is one more Rangers one. No, there's another Rangers one. Fullback paid good money.
Oh, Michael Ball.
Shares his name with a famous
Michael Ball.
Michael Ball. And finally, really tough. And you two don't have this in your locker, quite frankly.
Stephen Cocker.
Ah, whoever texts you that is at it. Stephen Cocker.
I didn't even like
Roger, thanks for listening. 01419511025 for tomorrow. Write it down. We're getting even closer to a huge weekend. Thank you, Simon. Thank you to Gordon. And the biggest thanks always goes to you for listening. Marvin Bartley, League One Manager of the Month, no less, joins us. Alongside the only guy that he didn't beat this month in Jim Duffy. What a partnership. So they'll be here tomorrow, and Cassie is up next.